Today, the RBA may have more to do if you believe the employment numbers. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, Australian employment came in stronger than expected in October, while the jobless rate edged higher as more people sought work, which may suggest the RBA needs to do more to cool demand and inflation. As Warren Hogan said, the RBA released updated economic forecasts less than a week ago, which were finalised on the 7th of November, 9 days ago. They forecast employment growth in December 2023 of 2.5%. After today's labour force numbers, they need employment to fall by around 10,000 in each of November and December to achieve this. And if you use quarterly average year over year, then you need an even bigger fall, something like a net fall of 50,000 in November and December. Either way, the economy keeps surprising on the upside, and their models will be screaming higher rates. It is their judgment and or the board that is holding rates down. Then on the other hand, a sluggish increase in hours worked and declining job ads could suggest that demand for workers is weakening along with the economy. And given record growth in the working age population, something will indeed have to give. That said, markets largely shrugged off the data. Today's figures don't provide enough of a smoking gun for a follow-up rate hike in the December board meeting. And that seems to also be the market reaction, said Dana Musana, Deputy Chief Economist at AMP. Another rate hike is still a possibility for February 2024 after the next round of quarterly inflation data, but we think the macroeconomic environment will be weaker by then, she said. The new RBA Governor Michelle Bullock recently described the labour market as not as tight as it was, suggesting that some leading indicators, such as job vacancies, had begun to ease from high levels. But when you examine the data, we have more questions than answers. And as discussed on Tuesday in my live show, I wonder if the data as presented by the ABS really portrays the current state of employment. My survey suggests that people are grabbing extra hours and jobs where they can to help alleviate the cost of living. And of course, with population growing thanks to high migration, we need at least 22,000 new jobs each month just to stand still. But actually, my guess is the ABS is not picking up the huge immigration surge quickly enough. And it's clear the labour market has dramatically loosened. As I say, something will have to give. Now let's look at the details. The unemployment rate increased by 0.2 percentage points to 3.7% in October in seasonally adjusted terms, according to the ABS. In October, the trend unemployment rate remained at 3.7% in line with the updated figure for September. And by the way, the ABS notes that the trend data provides the best measure of the underlying behaviour of the labour market and is the focus of the commentary in the publication, but then its press release started with a dissection of the seasonally adjusted data, so go figure. The ABS said that with employment increasing by 55,000 people, the number of unemployed people increasing by 28,000, the unemployment rate rose to 3.7% in October. This was back to around where it had been in July and August. The large increase in employment in October followed a small increase in September of around 8,000 people. And looking over the past 2 months, these increases equate to average employment growth of around 31,000 people a month, which is slightly lower than the average growth of 35,000 people a month since October 2022. The employment to population ratio increased by 0.1 percentage points to 64.5%, and the participation rate also increased by 0.2 percentage points to 67%. The monthly hours worked increased by 0.5% in October 2023, similar to the employment growth of 0.4%. However, the annual growth rate in hours worked has reduced to 1.7%, down from 5% in the middle of the year, and less than the annual employment growth of 3%. I'm going to suggest to you that's because all those people who grabbed extra hours and extra jobs have done so, and there's now less capacity to do that going ahead. Compared with the labour market just before the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, they said the growth in hours worked was still greater than employment at 10% and 9.2%. However, the gap between them has recently narrowed, having been much higher for most of the period from October 2022 to August 2023. The recent slowdown in the growth of hours worked may suggest that the labour market is starting to slow following a particularly strong period of growth, the ABS said. The underemployment rate remained at 6.3% in October, in line with the updated figure for September. While this was 0.4 percentage points higher than October 2022, this was still around 2.4 percentage points lower than before the pandemic. And the underutilization rate, which combines the unemployment and underemployment rates, rose 0.1 percentage points to 10%. This was 0.7 percentage points higher than last October, but 3.9 percentage points lower than March 2020. And they noted that the October labour force survey was run in respect of the 2 weeks from Sunday the 1st of October to Saturday the 14th of October, and collected over the period from Sunday the 8th of October to Saturday the 28th of October. And they said that, as seen in the recent weekly payroll jobs data, the referendum will have contributed to some temporary growth in employment, hours and participation in October. However, the temporary effect of referendums and elections on labour force employment measures cannot be specifically identified, so it's important to note that some temporary jobs growth will not translate into employment growth if a person works in a temporary job as a secondary job. And it also is important to note that only the second of the two reference weeks for the survey includes the referendum date, but number wanging potentially there. Now, looking at the trend data, in October the trend unemployment rate remained at 3.7%, in line with the updated figure of September. Employment grew by about 28,000 people, or 0.2%, and the hours worked fell 0.1% in October in trend terms. Over the past year, employment has increased by 2.8% and the hours worked by 2.6%. In trend terms, growth in hours worked has also been slowing down recently and has now fallen for the past 4 months. This suggests a softening in labour demand compared with the strong growth in hours during 2022-23. This slowing in hours is also reflected in the compositional change in employment growth, with part-time employment rising faster since the middle of 2023. In contrast, full-time employment has been increasing steadily through to the middle of 2023, but seems now to be showing very little growth since, the ABS said. The employment to population ratio remained at 64.4%, having been around 64.4 or 64.5% for the past 16 months, and the participation rate dropped from 66.9% to 66.8% and remains around the level of the past 9 months. The relatively high level of the employment to population ratio and participation rate shows the ongoing resilience in the labour market, with growth in employment broadly in line with population growth, the ABS said. The underemployment rate remained at 6.4% for the fifth straight month. And it's worth noting, by the way, looking at the state-by-state information, there is some variation across the country. Now, there is a fair amount of number-wanging going on under the hood with all of these figures. As always, there was a swing in unemployment due to the swap-out of the samples month-to-month. The outgoing group had an unemployment rate of 3.2%, while the incoming group was at 4.2%, although with a higher participation rate. But the ABS also says it has improved its method to be introduced along with associated revisions with the release of the February 2024 estimates. That's on the 21st of March 24, actually, and not with the November 2023 estimates as previously advised. As part of ongoing improvements in the estimation methods for the labour force statistics, the ABS will make some minor changes, they said, in how to account for some relatively small population groups within the sample. There are various small groups, which together account for about 2% of the overall sample, which are more difficult to survey each month, contributing a higher degree of underlying sample variability, and for whom there is more reliable auxiliary data sources, for example, regular administrative data. This includes some people who don't live in private dwellings and some people who live in remote and very remote parts of Australia. Given many, but not all of those groups, will have a relatively high proportion of people who are not in the labour force, the optimised estimate method will better account for those people and their labour force characteristics. For recent years, this will generally mean an increase in the level and reduce the variability in the aggregate estimate of persons not in the labour force, they said, along with corresponding changes in the employed and unemployed estimates. The revisions to the participation rate will therefore now be greater than was expected when they announced it back in November. While there will still be relatively small changes in the unemployment rate. And also next note that from September 2023, the sample frame has been updated with information from the 2021 census, with sample selection from the new sample being phased in over the 8 months from September 2023 to April 2024. This update is expected to have minimal impact, they say, on the sample selection, and as with previous sample changes, they will monitor it. Another upcoming change is that in the November 2023 publication to be released on the 14th of December, the labour force population benchmarks will be updated to reflect the latest estimated residential population based on the 2021 census. Now, this is a regular 5-year rebaselining process which follows each census, and they say it ensures the labour force estimates are benchmarked to the most recent population information. But here's the problem. We've had 500,000 people come into the country since then. And so essentially what it means is that they're using a baseline which is out of date before it starts. Given the massive migration, I think they should be updating the 2021 census information base before they actually make those changes, but they're not doing that. And that's one reason why I suspect that the unemployment rates are not actually reflecting reality very accurately at the moment. And by the way, they said that this process of updating to the census will result in minor revisions to labour force estimates going back to 2016, and that will follow a similar process to what was undertaken back in 2018. So what are the takeouts from this information? Well, firstly, the truth is that the unemployment situation looks significantly stronger than expected, and the volume of jobs growth is also stronger than expected if you believe the numbers. And as Warren Hogan said, if you believe the numbers, then the RBA estimates are way off and they'll need to lift rates. If, on the other hand, you'd think that the information is actually messed simply because of the very high migration and some of the other changes that the ABS are trying to make, it may be that the true situation is less strong than the ABS numbers. And in fact, if you look at Roy Morgan and some of the other information that's out there, as I discussed on Tuesday, it's quite clear that some of the other data is showing a significant weakening in the labour force statistics. So we are in the middle of a number wang here, a massive number wang, but it's really important because, of course, if the RBA takes the ABS numbers on face value and lifts rates again, then that will put more pressure on the economy. If, on the other hand, the high migration is yet to show in the employment numbers, that means that that could be an over-tightening. So we're on the edge of a precipice, and whichever way you look at it, the risks are pretty high, whether rates will go up or whether they won't. I think the labour force is quite a lot weaker. I think that many people who have got additional work are already in work, so you're not going to see significant growth in the hours worked. And the high migration will eventually flow into the census, but of course not for another 2.5 to 3 years. So we are in a data vacuum, in my view, which means that you can't really trust these numbers. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.